help us to commence with hymn 1119. Jesus, thou almighty Saviour, prostrate at thy feet I lie, humbly I entreat thy favour, condescend to hear my cry. 1119. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 14. 14th chapter of the Acts. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which, when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes, and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, on whom they believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down unto Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant to pray.
Most holy and eternal Lord God, how we need thee now to grant to us a breath of real prayer. Lord, may we not be left as the Pharisees were to pray thus with themselves. Oh, do deliver us, Lord, from ourselves and from this world and from all the evil that abounds, and how we need thee to draw near now and to grant to us a true spirit of worship. For thou hast said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And O Lord, may we be favoured like dear John of old, and be in the spirit on the Lord's day. And O Lord, may thy spirit rule our spirit, and may we have the mind and the spirit of Christ. Oh, that we may be given grace to humble ourselves under thy mighty hand, that from a humble and tender heart we may worship thee, the only true God. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt be the master of assemblies, and that we may feel and know thy sweet presence. For, O Lord, one of old said, what is the house to me, unless the master there I see? But, O Lord, how we need that faith to be given, that we might truly look unto thee, and that we might believe that thou wilt hear and answer our poor petitions. Oh, we would come pleading the precious name and precious blood and glorious merits of the Lord Jesus, and that we might have that sweet access at the throne of grace. Now, Lord, that we may have thy ear, that we might spread before thee all our great need. O Lord, as we have gathered today, we do seek that thou wilt come where we each are. For, Lord, thou knowest those things we're in need of before we even ask or think. But, oh, we would seek for grace to cast all our cares upon thee. And, oh, may we have the sweet assurance that thou carest for us. And knowest those that have come burdened and heavy laden and have many things to trouble them and cause them concern. May it please thee, dear Lord, to help them, to spread them all before thee, to leave them in thy hands. O Lord, as we come with all our sin and guilt and wretchedness, Lord, that, oh, we would come truly confessing our many sins, pleading that thou would have mercy upon us, Lord, how often we have to plead with the publican. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, may we be favoured this day with a sweet taste of thy mercy, that mercy that is transportingly sweet. O Lord, may our hearts be melted and humbled. Oh, we pray that we may be as nothing before thee, and that we may be favoured to know our pardon signed and our peace procured. Oh, do strengthen our little faith, dear Lord, that we might truly believe, even to the saving of our souls. We pray that thou wilt work mightily in any that as yet know thee not. Oh, that thou wouldst cause in these solemn dark days yet many to seek thy face. For thou hast said in thy word, seek ye my face. Oh, that there may be many hearts enabled to say, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And oh, may those seekers, Lord, be finders. Oh, that we might be favoured like dear Mary of old, and like the spouse, Lord, in thy word, who found thee. And thou knowest how often the petition of our hearts is with dear Joan. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. And, O Lord, do bless the dear children, the dear babes, the little ones, and remember them each for good, and with the favour thou bearest to thy people. May thy word enter into their hearts well in early days. For thou hast said, it is good that a man should bear the yoke in his youth. Oh, may there be those yet to bear that yoke. And we pray thou wilt keep them from all danger and harm, all the snares of this world. Thou wilt raise up yet a seed to serve thee, and a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. And I do bless the Sabbath school, Lord, and bless thy word that is set before the young, and may it enter into their hearts and be made life and power to them in early days. Do bless the dear young people. We pray thou wilt keep them and preserve them and watch over them. May they not be drawn away with the snares of Satan. And oh, may they be blessed with the riches of thy grace, and be given thee a religion thou didst give to dear Ruth of old, that they might cleave to thee, and cleave to thy truth, and thy people, and thy house. May they be raised up to be useful in Zion in their day and generation. May the prayers that are put up for them be heard and answered. Do provide God-fearing husbands, God-fearing wives. Lord, supply each need and provide necessary and needful employment for the young in these dark and evil days. Help those that are in middle life, Lord, with all the burdens and cares they have. Oh, do undertake for them. And those in affliction's pathway, oh, we pray, if it be thy holy will, Thou art saying that needed healing. Lord, thou hast said in thy word, thou dost not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. But oh, we pray that thou wilt grant thy overruling and sanctifying hand in it all, that there may be those in affliction enabled to say, it is good that I have been in affliction. Lord, may thy blessing rest upon them. May the bitter be made sweet. Lord, there are many bitter things thy people have to walk through. But oh, we pray that those bitter things may be made sweet by thee. And oh Lord, may it please thee to remember our dear aged friends, those that are in much weakness. Oh, do come and be with them. And sweetly assure them that it is well with them while life endures. Well, when called to die. And may they and may we each be prepared for that great day of death. And be found ready, waiting for thy coming. And O Lord, do remember those away at this time. Keep them safe, Lord, and be with them, and bring them back at the appointed time in peace and safety. And if it be thy holy will, may they be refreshed and revived both in body and in mind and in soul. And benefited by the change. Do help the deacons here and bless them, Lord. Give them that wisdom and grace they need. And bless the hymns they give out. And may there be that sweet flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew. Do bless thee, church, and increase them if it would please thee. May there be others constrained to follow thee and to keep thy commandments. For thou hast said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Oh, may Zion be built up, and may our own flock be yet increased if it would please thee. Who help thy dear servant in his great age and weakness as he labours among them today. May it be a time of sweet refreshing, both to his soul and to those that gather from the presence of the Lord. And oh, do anoint and help each of thy dear servants. May they prove, and may we each prove, that a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. In the midst of deserved wrath, do remember this nation, Lord. Oh, do turn us from our idols and sin and wickedness. Raise up yet, we pray, men of God, and many that fear thee to rule our land. May our Queen in this Diamond Jubilee year be abundantly blessed, and the royal family too, with all the riches of thy grace. And we would praise thee, dear Lord, for the beautiful sunshine. May there be that settled weather for the gathering in of the harvest. And we pray thou would appear especially for the godly husbandmen. And we would praise thee for all the mercies of providence, the mercies of grace. And oh, do remember us now as we turn to thy holy word. We pray for that anointing from heaven. Thou wilt give us strength for this hour and this time of need. For Lord, without thee, we can do nothing. Oh, do pour in that we might pour out, and open the ears and hearts of thy people, and may the word be made life and power to each of thy dear children. Do forgive now what we've uttered amiss. Make up in giving where we so fail in asking. And help us to sing thy praises from our hearts with gracious understanding. And may we know the realities what we sing. We ask these poor breathings in the precious name of Jesus. And for his dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 906. Oh, where shall I find a guide to direct, right skilful and kind and brave to protect? To lovely Mount Zion my heart is now bound, but many a lion is in the way found. 906.
Thank you.
Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 14, and the 22nd verse. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 14, and verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 14, and verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit has wonderfully and sacredly left on record some of the deep things that the dear apostles, Paul and Barnabas and others, had to walk through. And if we are the children of God, there will be many things we will have to walk through. But like with these dear apostles, the unknown way was hid from them. And what a mercy that is with us, isn't it? Sometimes we wonder whether we shall be able to endure to the end. But mercifully, the unknown way is in the hands of the God of heaven, and he will prepare his dear people for each step of it. It's just one or two things I want to name in leading up to this text. First of all, Paul and Barnabas had to endure much persecution. Their ministry to the ungodly was a strange ministry, and they rebelled and kicked against it because they knew not the things that the apostles preached and were determined not to know them because they were yet dead in trespasses and sins. Secondly, how wonderfully the Lord had anointed dear Paul particularly, not only to preach the word, but to be used by God to deliver this crippled man. And oh, you look at the powers Paul spoke to him. Stand upright on thy feet. And then we see immediately the gracious effect of it. And how he leaped and walked. You know, we long to see such blessed things today. We know it was especially given to those dear apostles, the power to heal the sick. There was, of course, that solemn searching case where, in Mark chapter 9, where they could not deliver the child because of their unbelief. And how often often we are plagued with that same unbelief, but here Paul wonderfully perceived the faith that was to be given to this crippled lad, believing that God was able. It's a wonderful couplet, isn't it, in the hymn we sing sometimes, "He is able, he is willing, doubt no more." And what a mercy it is today we still have a God that is able. You know, they're very sacred words. Daniel proved them. When the king said to him, "Is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions?" Oh, Daniel believed God's word and shut their mouths. And he did, didn't he? And then, of course, dear Jude in his epistle speaks of it too. "Now unto him who is able." And oh, that we might lay that to heart today and have that faith to believe it. I hadn't thought of naming it, but to come back to this, we find then immediately after the Lord had wonderfully appeared for the apostle and the healing was given, Satan was let loose. And oh, how they stoned Paul and carried him out of the city as dead. You know, we often have heard over the years of the servants of God of old, where they used to say, "Where the Lord works, the devil will as well." But I'll just drop a word of warning there. We shouldn't go looking for it. But here, you look how wonderfully not only was this lame man to walk, but Paul, who they thought was dead, was to immediately arise as the disciples stood looking at him. And they went forth to preach the word. And then we find the words of our text as they pass through these cities of Antioch and Iconium. And then we find this, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. And that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. Now, may the Holy Spirit help me to look into this word. First of all, it was addressed to a certain people. Disciples. And you know, this has searched me much, because what sort of disciples are we? You see, Satan has his disciples, but so does the Lord. We sing in the hymn, "Satan's agents cannot love the Saviour's choice." Solemn thing, isn't it, if we are a disciple of the devil. But what a blessed thing if we are disciples of the Lord. You see, those that stoned Paul and those that persecuted Paul and Barnabas earlier on in the chapter, they were good agents of Satan, weren't they? Disciples of his. But here this word is addressed to disciples of the Lord, confirming the souls of the disciples. And it seems with me, and I trust of the Holy Spirit, to firstly bring before you, what are these disciples then, really before God? Well, they are souls that he has loved with an everlasting love, chosen in Christ before the world was formed. And you know, the Lord Jesus, while here upon the earth, he wonderfully called his disciples forth, and they had to come forth from many things, didn't they? Matthew, from the receipt of custom. Peter and others from their fishing occupations. Paul was a tent maker. And he called them forth. Now, these disciples are those the Lord called. And he didn't say many words to them, did he, when he called them? Well, with the Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, it was those words from heaven on the Damascus road, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? The Lord brought him into solemn concern about his soul and eternity. With Peter and Matthew and others in their occupation, he spoke two words to them. Follow me. What are you following? What am I today? You see, a real disciple of the Lord is a real follower of Christ. They follow him. And this following is a continual process. Not just, as many easy believers and people think today, well, you know, they can follow the Lord when things go well and give it up when they please. The real followers of Christ follow very close to him. We know there is that solemn record concerning Peter, where he followed the Lord afar off. And if we are left for a moment, we're just the same, aren't we? It's a solemn thing when we are following afar off. But one of the meanings of a disciple is a real follower of Christ. Keeping close to him, listening to what he will speak. Seeking his continual direction, as we've sung in that beautiful hymn just now. A follower of a meek and lowly Jesus. You see, these followers are made like him. Oh, they are. We've got an old nature that is hard and rebellious and soon would follow the world. Left for a moment, it would. But you see, those dear disciples of Christ, like Peter and others, they were made very much like the Saviour, because grace in them reigned, and they followed him very closely. I can't get away from this morning, the need, and I preach it to myself, because to be following the Lord very closely, living near him. It's really, to use a simple illustration, those of you with dear children here will know that so often a little child keep very close to its dear mother. It's part of her, you see. And it copies what she does in the kitchen or in other things. It wants to do what she does. It gets like her. And in a far greater way, the Lord's followers are like that. They keep close to him because, like with a little child, particularly when they go out and there's danger, the loving mother wants them close because she can watch over them and keep them safe. And you see, there's a wonderful safety in following the Lord very closely. It's something I crave more and more, to be more and more like the Saviour. Humble, you see, tender, having the mind and the Spirit of Christ. And what does he say? Except ye have the Spirit of Christ, ye are none of his. Now this word was spoken concerning these disciples. But too, another blessed aspect of a disciple is this. They're learners. It's a wonderful thing that is, isn't it? You know, I used to think when I was a lad that a real disciple of the Lord was a person that knew everything and that wanted to be something. And my old carnal mind used to think, well, they're so great, they're almost, as it were, out of this earth. And I used to think, and solemnly so in my unregenerate days, that the record in God's word of disciples were, it was especially for those 12 that the Lord chosen, and no others. But you know, it applies to every one of God's dear children. And I look back in shame, really, at those thoughts I had. But you know, a disciple, if you look, the real meaning of it is a learner. We sing in the hymn, don't we? It's a beautiful couplet, really, isn't it? We are but learners yet. And really, the Lord's dear disciples are learning from the day the Lord begins to work in them and causes them to follow in his steps, obeying his commands. There be learners right the way till they breathe their last breath, ever learning. And this learning is not natural learning. We live in a day where so many think they can learn God's truth as schoolboys learn their task. You never can. The Lord will put his dear children in his school, and the school is by experience, walking it out. Learning the truth by walking it out. And that is painful sometimes for the flesh. But oh, to be a real learner. And you see, if you look in the Psalms, how many times dear David prayed for the Lord to teach him. He needed teaching how to pray. He needed teaching how to walk. He needed teaching in the afflictions and trials that he had to walk through, and they were all part of the teaching of dear David the psalmist and with Moses and Asaph. They were learners. And so often, you know, when we're learning, looking at it naturally, we need a teacher, don't we? That's why the child goes to school, so they can be taught. Now, there are those that know a lot more about teaching than I do, but You see, we need a heavenly teacher, don't we? What do we read? The Holy Spirit is the divine teacher of the Lord's dear people. What did Christ say to the dear disciples? He shall teach you all things. That's what he told them. That when he was to go up to Calvary and to leave them for that season, he said he would send the blessed Holy Spirit and he shall teach you all things. And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Oh, to be taught by the Lord. May the Lord bless that precious word in Isaiah. It's a very precious word to me. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Oh, may the Lord grant that in each of the families here, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. And you know that applies to the whole family of God. They shall all be taught of the Lord. Oh, they will. He may not begin to teach them till they get old. He may teach them. For the most part, the Lord begins to teach his dear children while they're young. But they'll all be taught of him. And why is it we need that heavenly teacher? Because what he teaches us is pure truth. And it will establish us in the truth. And the reason we need too that heavenly teacher is this, because what he teaches us will stand when everything else fails. And not only that, it's that he might be glorified and have all the honour and glory and praise. Confirming the souls of the disciples. But then too a disciple comes under the sweet discipline of heaven. And what a mercy it is, like with a dear mother and father, that when the child does wrong, they discipline them. One of the reasons why the country's in the solemn state it is now is for lack of discipline. And one of the reasons why the Church of God is in the solemn state it is because of lack of discipline. People think they can do what they like. But you see, there's something very precious about this, because the Lord disciplines and teaches and corrects his dear children in love, like a loving mother and father will. They correct them because they love them. Whom the Lord loveth, the apostle said, he correcteth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. But you think, coming under that sweet discipline, we cannot do this and do that because the Lord won't allow us, you see. We're disciplined by him. Grace and the fear of God in our souls will continually bring us down and bring us under that sweet discipline of heaven. And that's wonderful, really, isn't it? Sweetly correcting, lovingly, the dear child, this dear disciple. It keeps the soul from sinning, you see. It keeps them from grieving the Lord when we're under that sweetness. And when we do sin against him and grieve him, then he corrects us for it. You think how many times, I was reading it earlier this morning, how many times the Lord corrected the children of Israel as they went through the wilderness. how many times they wandered, but how many times he corrected them and brought them back. They came under the discipline of heaven. I've heard it said, and it's very solemn really, that when a person's disciplined in a church, that because they're disciplined, the church is hard with them. It's not that at all. You see, it's like if you and I are members of a church, the church has its rules, and God has his rules in his word. And he'll bring his dear people under them. Oh, he will. So they're brought under and made submissive and brought into subjection to them. Confirming the souls of the disciples. But let us go further. Much could be said upon these disciples, you see. They were brought out of the world, brought out of all the things of time that were perishing, and brought to look to the Saviour. And all their hope was in him. What did Peter say? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. But you see, this word goes even further. He says, confirming the souls of the disciples. They've all got never dying souls. Each one of us here have to die. And the day will come when the Lord will say, this day is thy soul required of thee. The soul will return to God that gave it. You see, so when the Holy Spirit left this word on record, it was not just spoken to the natural mind of the disciples, it was spoken to their never dying souls. The inmost being in the child of God, their soul. You see, when the hour of death comes, it won't be somebody else's soul, it'll be yours, it'll be mine. Now what we need is to be exercised about our never dying soul. You think how many times the psalmist, in his blessed language throughout the Psalms, prayed the Lord would reveal himself to his never dying soul. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. He wanted it personally, you see. As the Lord bless you and your never dying soul and me with a good hope beyond the grave. And oh, what we need, you see, is our souls to be kept alive. What did David say in Psalm 22? But none can keep alive his own soul. It's only the Lord that can keep him alive, his soul. How soon we become dead and cold and lifeless, but you see, the life of the soul of a real disciple is hid with Christ in God. Oh, it is. Confirming the souls of the disciples. And oh, that the Lord would speak to our never dying souls, sweetly assure us that in our souls it is well, and that he is our only hope, our only redeemer, our all and in all. Confirming the souls of the disciples, but then this sweet confirming, it's been with me so much the last few days. I want to look at this from a few aspects as we may be helped to the subject. the great need of this confirming. And there are things we need confirming, aren't there? You know, if we exercise a right in our own souls, we shall need those things confirmed. And now may the Holy Spirit help me to open it up a little. First of all, look at our exercises. Those exercises that God has given us. Now, let's be very clear. What sort of exercise are we thinking of? Because there's a lot of bodily exercise in us, isn't there? Bodily exercise. You read Paul's letter to Timothy, and he defines very closely between bodily exercise and godliness. Bodily exercise is an exercise of the carnal mind. It never goes any further than that. But godliness is an exercise of the soul which God gives to his people. Now let me use an illustration. Think of the Apostle Paul himself on that Damascus road when the Lord spoke to him, as I said earlier, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" What did he cry out? "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And that was an exercise of his soul. It wasn't his carnal mind. Prior to that, his carnal mind only wanted to do his own will and the will of man. But now, it's an exercise of soul. Godliness was to reign in him. And what does godliness mean? Herbert Dawson used to liken godliness to God-likeness. And you see, the Lord will make his dear children like him. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. Something to be craved, isn't it? But think of this confirmation, confirming the souls of the disciples. Do we not need in our souls the Lord to confirm us in several things? Let me name a few. First of all, to confirm us that we're in the narrow way. Well, you look in the 24th chapter of Genesis, of Abraham's servant when he was commissioned to go forth and take a wife for Isaac. That commission was not just Abraham's commission, it was the commission of God. And look at the great burden it was to that dear servant when the Lord laid it on him. His very soul was exercising it. And he wanted to know that the way that he was taking was the right way. And he needed the Lord to confirm it, didn't he? And you look how wonderfully the Lord did confirm it. He confirmed it by hearing and answering the prayer of the dear servant, that the virgin that should come forth would say, "Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also." It was the very thing that he prayed for that she spoke. A wonderful confirmation. And what else did he say? "I, being in the way," the Lord had put him in it. "I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." And you look how wonderfully the Lord confirmed it too when he came to the house of Laban and Bethuel. The there was such exercise in the dear man's heart how they would receive him and receive that desire, what was within him, that Rebecca should go come forth for Isaac. And you look how the Lord had gone before, and he prepared the house of Laban and Bethuel, and when he spoke to them, what did they say to him? Come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? It was a blessed confirmation. The Lord was in every step of it, you see. I was thinking before I rose this morning of when I was a lad at Staplehurst, Mr. Hammond used to have a few, he was the pastor then, a few quaint sayings, and one of the sayings he often used to use was this: the need of confirmation, confirmation and confirmation. And it may be in your soul's exercise today you need the Lord to confirm to you in that narrow way. Well, let me use a word of illustration from God's holy word. My mind goes to that beautiful word in Isaiah 30, where we read this: thou shalt hear a word or a voice behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Thou shalt hear the Lord speaking, you say, this is the way. And it's a wonderful word when the Lord speaks it. And may speak it to some poor soul that's so concerned whether you're in the way, that narrow way. It's a great exercise to them. This is the way. The Lord speaking, you say, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Turn not to the right hand or to the left, you see, but when you turn to the right hand, when you turn to the left, this is the way. But another thing we need confirming is this. We need the Lord to confirm to us that he put all our sins away at Calvary. And it needs confirming in our inmost soul. And oh, what will confirm it? Well, for the Lord to sweetly whisper one of those precious promises that he's given in his holy word. I think, and I may have mentioned it here before, but my mind goes to my late dear grandfather. You know, the dear man, he was well over 80 and he knew his end was drawing near, and he longed for the Lord to confirm to him that he'd put away all his sin. And one night he couldn't go to sleep. Sin kept him awake. He said, all the sins stood before me like mountains. And he said, I lay there and tremble before a holy God. And he said, I had to beg of the Lord because of all his weakness that the Lord would give him a little sleep. And then the Lord dropped those precious words in, so he giveth his beloved sleep. And the dear man, you know, he went to sleep immediately. And then at 3 o'clock in the morning, the Lord woke him with these words audibly from heaven. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be whiter than snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And he said, I looked for all my sin and it was all gone. He said to the Lord, Lord, me reason with thee, a poor wretched worm like me, reason with me. Come now, the Lord said, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be whiter than snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And this is what the Lord told him. And he said, you know, he could have gone right from that bed straight to glory. He said he put his arms up begging the Lord to take him. He didn't want to sin anymore. Well, that very day was the Thanksgiving services at Frittenden Chapel. And he got up that morning in the joy of the blessing, you know. He didn't know whether he was in the earth or where he was, really. The Lord had removed all his sin. And he went to the house of God there at Frittenden. Dear Mr. Clark from Barton was the minister. During the sermon that afternoon, he stopped and he said, friends, is there one here that couldn't go to sleep last night because of your sin? And then the Lord gave you sweet rest and you slept, and then he woke you with these words. It was just as though everybody had told Mr. Clark all about it. Come now, Mr. Clark said, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be whiter than snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The dear man, you know, his soul just leapt for joy. Oh, the confirmation. You know, if the Lord speaks a word to you, you go up to the house of God and look for the confirmation of it. And we need to be confirmed that he put it all away at Calvary, don't we? What does the hymn writer say? My soul looks back to see the burdens thou didst bear when hanging on the accursed tree, and hopes her guilt was there. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy sins and will not remember thy transgressions. You see, the Lord can do it today. As far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed thy transgressions from before thee. And many other precious words, you see, with the dear woman, with the issue of blood. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith had made thee whole. And he sealed it with this, didn't he? Go in peace. Now, how could she go in peace? Because all her sin was removed. Not just the affliction of her soul was removed. Confirming the souls of the disciples. But then we need the Lord to confirm us, you dear young people, in the steps you may take in providence. Some years ago at the bank holiday services at Tunbridge Wells, I preached to about Caleb entering into the land of Canaan. And there's a beautiful word, you know, concerning that, what he said. And it was this, let us go up at once and possess it. You know, the 10 brought back that evil report, didn't they, of all the giants and the walled cities and the impossibilities, and because of their unbelief they brought back this evil report. But Caleb and Joshua brought back a good report, and they said, let us go up at once and possess it. And you know, that seems so laid upon me to look a little at that. And there were a young couple there that were anticipating marriage, and they were hoping to buy a house, and they looked at it on the Saturday and they said, well, we feel settled that it's right, but we want the Lord to confirm it. And they came to that service, you know, looking for the Lord to confirm the matter. And if it was just of them to take it all away. And when I quoted those words, let us go up at once and possess it, the Lord so applied it to them. You know, they've never forgot it. Let us go up at once and possess it. And I knew nothing of what they were in, but you see, the Lord knew how to confirm it. And sometimes, you know, he confirms our exercises through the ministry. He can confirm our exercises through his holy word. He can confirm them by speaking audibly from heaven. He can confirm it sometimes by shutting every door except for one. There's just one thing I want to name before we leave it this morning, is this. We need the Lord to confirm us by favouring us with his sweet presence with us. Oh, we do. You know, sometimes the Lord doesn't speak a word, but he confirms the matter by the sweet presence, his sweet presence that he favours us with. Let me use one simple illustration. You go back to Moses. The Lord, in those early days of the great exercise of leading the children of Israel, spoke these words to Moses. They're precious words. Certainly, I will be with thee. Now, dear Moses knew what it was to feel in his own soul the sweet presence of the Lord with him. But he needed it, especially when things began to get rough, the way seemed to be difficult. He needed the Lord to confirm that. And what do we read in Exodus 33? The Lord wonderfully confirmed it. And he said to him this, may the Lord say to us, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And it was a wonderful confirmation of what the Lord had said to him before. Certainly, I will be with thee. And what did Moses say in answer to that before the Lord? If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. In other words, he was saying, Lord, don't let me go alone. It's a solemn thing when we go into something alone, isn't it? But oh, what a blessed thing when the Lord confirms by his sweet presence that we're in the way, that our exercises are real, that he will help us through and undertake for us. Confirming the souls of the disciples. Well, I haven't got far. May we know more and more those sweet confirmations, confirmed by one sweet, soft, simple word from heaven, which alone the Lord can do. Well, I must leave it. May the Lord bless his word.
Collections last Lord's Day amount to £630, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by our friend Mr. Field. Mr. Chapman is expected to preach on Tuesday evening in place of Mr. Ashby, who's having an operation. And Mr. Timothy Barker is expected to preach next Lord's Day. Let us now close with hymn 812. Whene'er I make some sudden stop, for many such I make, and cannot see the cloud cleared up, nor know which path to take, I to my Saviour speed my way, to tell my dubious state, then listen what the Lord will say, and hope to follow that. 812.
dear Lord, do come over the poverty of our poor, feeble attempts. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little at a point. Take us each now and be with us each, and help us through the rest of the day if it would please. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.